Patrick Marleau. Remember him? Patrick Marleau is going to become the NHL's all-time leader in games played on Monday night. He's going to pass Gordie Howe. Now, think about that statement. Patrick Marleau is going to pass Gordie Howe. Marleau shouldn't be allowed to pass Howe in anything. If Gordie Howe was still alive and Marleau drove behind Howe on the freeway, if Gordie's going 55, Marleau better be going 54. Marleau had better never pass Gordie. And if Marleau tailgates, if he comes too close, Gordie would pull over and knock out his teeth with an elbow. And don't forget, Gordie played 419 career games in the WHA on top of the 1,767 he played in the NHL. Marleau playing 1,768 NHL games is a tribute to nothing besides an overexpanded NHL and Marleau's desire to steal a paycheck indefinitely. Marleau has a total of 31 goals over his last three seasons, and you saw him here in Pittsburgh. Marleau skated like his ankles got chained together. So, congratulations to Patrick Marleau. But he's not Gordie Howe, or even close. To me, this accomplishment means nothing. So guess what, Marleau?
You just made the list!
The list, brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Count on a name you can trust. Dial 412-367-0815 for all your plumbing needs. Matt Mertz hooked you up, I'm telling you. Now, I saw a tweet about the B-team saying, why has the B-team become such an anti-Steelers narrative to the point of blasphemous, uninformed, intentionally stupid takes just for intention of clicks? Genuinely curious. And I replied, even though it wasn't directed at me, it's not a narrative. I'm the same way. The Steelers are a haphazardly administered team that's made a lot of bad decisions recently and has a lot of holes in the lineup. It's not for attention and clicks. It's what we see. I'm very informed. I don't think you have a clue what blasphemous means. Blasphemous is to violate the laws of God. I don't think criticizing the Steelers even remotely violates the laws of God. It's getting tougher and tougher to talk about the Steelers this time. No kidding. You're not supposed to be critical at all. You're not supposed to be critical at all. They've won 3 playoff games in 10 years, and you're supposed to carry the water and say how great everything is. But they've underachieved badly. There's a lot of holes in that team. They've made a lot of mistakes. And I really don't know who's in charge anymore. Some of the decisions made recently have been so mind-boggling. I wonder if Art the Second is having a lot of football input. Because you know what they say about the third generation of a family business. 412-333-WXDX. We've been talking at length about the situation with Pine Richland High School. The football coach, Eric Kasprowicz, was fired last night by email in the most chicken scratch way possible. Kasper coached 8 years there, won 4 Whippials, won 2 states, and won both just this past year. But they fired Kasper and his whole staff, and they did it by email. It's a disgrace. They have leaked some very vague allegations about bullying and hazing. But we had Luke Miller, a senior linebacker on the team, whose dad coached. He's been around the program, not just the years he played, but for several before that. the entirety of Kasparovich's tenure with the Rams, and he said he saw no bullying, he saw no hazing. And what is being leaked is that this jerk, this Brian Miller, the superintendent, he's jealous of how high-profile football is. I guess he wants academics to mean more than athletics. Okay, good luck with that. It's high school, you stupid idiot. And speaking of academics, what about all the scholarships that Pine Ridgeland football players have gotten while playing for Kasparovich? So Kasper got fired. I think it's going to stick. Once you're fired, you're fired. But Kasper was 85-18 over 8 seasons. Like I said, 6 championships. I just can't believe it happened. And if I'm a football player at Pine Ridgeland, I transfer somewhere else, maybe Central Catholic. And if you started coaching high school football 10 years ago and you still are, that doesn't tell me you're a good coach. That just tells me you kissed the right ass. Because that's what high school sports is now. Not about good coaches, not about winning, not about the kids. It's about kissing the right ass. It is just absolutely disgusting. Pine Ridgeland says it won't comment on personnel matters. But this Brian Miller, if he had balls, he'd be out playing catch with him. Bunch of cowardly scumbags who fired a coaching staff that brought them 6 trophies by email. Now, if there was any hazing or bullying, okay, then you better say specifically what happened. What's the smoking gun? If you're going to fire a coach who's been that successful, don't be vague. Say exactly what happened, but you can't because it didn't. I don't know why anybody would even want to coach high school football anymore. Like I just said, it's not about coaching and about kids. It's about parents and school boards and placating and negotiating and kissing ass. And this is nothing new. They forced out Mike Zemanek, the great football coach at Aliquippa, a few years back. That was for no reason. They even tried to get Render at St. Clair, McCurry at North Hills, Timbo McConnell, Char Valley basketball, and now they got Kasparovich. It just really is disheartening as someone who started in the business covering high school football, and it's been kidnapped. High school football is very important in Western Pennsylvania, and it's been 100% kidnapped. Now, Luke Miller was wonderful on the program earlier. I'd love to see the kids at Pine Ridgeland take a stand for the coach, but it's tough for kids to do that. It takes a rare group of kids. Luke Miller's a senior. He won't be back. What he says, it only carries so much weight because of that. Although I believe every word he said. It takes a rare group of kids to take a stand in a situation like this. You need, like Kevin Bacon was in Footloose, or Jimmy Chitwood in Hoosiers. He needs to show up at the town meeting. I play, coach stays. He goes, I go. Otherwise, transfer to Terhune or Central Catholic. That's as good a benefit from all this, Central Catholic. A lot of those good kids at Pine Ridgeland going to wind up at Central Catholic. And here's one more thing about that Pine Ridgeland situation. I'm told there was going to be a logjam at quarterback. Their quarterback from this year's team graduated. I forget his name. He's very good. Forgive me, please. And there are 2 or 3 kids who were real good at quarterback, and one of the kids up for the job is Kasparovich's kid. And maybe now somebody's trying to take that out of the equation. Because as with pro ball and college ball and high school ball, it's all about the quarterback. 412-333-WXDX. Luke Miller was on the show, and he really wants to get this overturned. I just don't think it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I'll never forget when North Hills, when somebody on the school board there, and boy, this guy, what a jamoke he was. I wish I remembered his name. He called my show. I dared him to call my show, just like I dared this Brian Miller to call my show, but he called my show, and I excoriated him. And he was mad because his kid started. His kid started on defense. He wanted him to play quarterback. So he got the ball rolling to try to get Jack McCurry fired. But before they did, they had a school board meeting. And then the great LeVar Arrington, North Hills player, saw him play. Unbelievable. Went to Penn State, the LeVar leap. You remember that. Had a solid pro career with the Giants in Washington. And he showed up at the McCurry school board meeting, as I recall, wearing a gold lame suit. and made it clear that if Jack were fired, he would crush somebody's spleen. So that was the end of that. Okay, it's time to ask Mark anything now. Dial 412-333-WXDX because we got the Hockey Night Show at 5:30, and my guest then will be Seth Rohrabaugh of The Trip. But call now and ask Mark anything, 412-333-WXDX.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Yeah, Mark, what is it, buddy?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mr. Madden, how you doing?
What up? What if they wore assless chaps? Would that help at all?
If they what?
The X at 105.9.
I'm not Ask Mark Anything, brought to us by FoxBet. Make the call, download the app today. Let's go to Kenny on the south side. Kenny, Ask Mark Anything.
Who or what was the main catalyst for the outbreak of World War I?
Archduke Ferdinand got shot, I believe.
Yes.
Archduke of Austro-Hungary. I think things were brewing before that, but that's what I recall as the thing that triggered the actual war.
Yes, historians often point to that singular event. But do you think that do you think Germany deserved to be blamed for the war guilt after the war at the Treaty of Versailles? Do you think that was
well? Hitler
there?
Didn't think so.
No, he didn't.
You see, the winners write the history in every war, and the winners determine the penalty for the losers. So, what happened with the Treaty of Versailles? It was debated for years and years, but that's how war works. It's like the Nuremberg trial. You know, the rules for the trial were laid down by the winners, and there was no way for the Nazis on trial to win. It was just impossible. Not that they should have been acquitted, but that trial was mostly for show. Did you need a trial to kill Hermann Goering? Did you need a trial to kill Joachim von Ribbentrop? I don't think you did. But it was done because democracy had to win the day. And I get it, but like I said, the winners determine the aftermath of a war. They write the history. Let's go to Tim in Zillionople. Tim, you're on with Double M.
Mark, I need a super genius opinion of why the Cardinals picked up Connors.
I don't know. I mean, for a backup, I guess it'd be okay.
Okay.
I mean, you tell me. I mean, are you outraged by it? Do you wish the Steelers would have kept him? I just think he's who's a lot closer to his career being over than he is to being a regular.
No, I just don't think anybody would take him. I you know, hey, I got the cancer thing and everything. I understand that.
Well, no, bro, he's a great story, and he fought valiantly to stay alive. But, you know, that doesn't matter when it comes to your employability. In fact, he's been so injury-prone that you know, I don't know if it's because he became brittle after beating cancer, but at any rate, I wouldn't hire him, and Arizona did. So I wish him well. I wish him luck. I just wouldn't hire him. Leaves the line open for Ask Mark Anything, 412-333-WXDX. Let's go to Jim in Pine Richland. Jim, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good.
So I have three kids in the district. Two are actually in high school. And a couple things, you know, this might not be just a Miller thing. You know, Miller went to North Allegheny, so football is pretty much the rules the roost in North Allegheny as well.
You mean Brian Miller, the superintendent, went to North Allegheny?
Yes, sir.
Well, he doesn't want Pine Richland to be like North Allegheny. But why is it up to him to determine the pecking order in the context of a high school? I think high schools have always dictated their own pecking orders.
Well, if that's the case, then there's something going on not only between the superintendent and the head of the school board, which is Peter Lyons, because those two out here, you know, pretty much pull the strings on what goes on out here. And don't you also think that if this was some sort of hazing incident, that the police would be involved with this?
I would hope so. Although that said, when you had that terrible story at Central Catholic about hazing that had a very lewd and sexual connotation, I don't know that the police got involved then. So I can't answer that question for certain, but I would think so and I would hope so. Hey, here's the bottom line. When you had that Central Catholic hazing story, some very specific and horrible stories got leaked, correct?
Correct.
Have you heard any specific stories at all about the hazing at Pine Richland aside from somebody snapping a towel?
Well, no, and you know as well as I do, I mean, you know, obviously we were both in high school, kids talk. And when I asked my kids about this last night, I got a senior and a sophomore, they were so dumbfounded by that, even that comment of hazing or abuse in the program. And I have, you know, in my circle of friends here in PR, you know, I have dads who I speak to that I'm friends with whose kids are on the team and who have played on the team. And thus far, everybody that I've spoken to in the last, 24 hours or whatever it's been, they've all said the same thing, that this is absolutely ludicrous.
Too many people have told me, Jim, too many people have told me that the superintendent is jealous of the football coach's status. That is the most repeated story. And I think in this case, where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay, we got Eric on hold. He wants to talk hockey. He can do that on the other side of the commercial break because it's the Hockey Night Show. We got the Pens and Flyers tonight. We got Seth Rohrabaugh from the Trib. Let's talk hockey here on the X.
X. And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
They're going to nail us no matter what we do, so we might as well have a good time. Toga, toga.
The X at 105.9.
Welcome to the Hockey Night Show, brought to you by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'. Joining me now, he covers the Penguins and the NHL for the Trib. He is Seth Rohrabaugh. Seth, how does that line fit together with Carter tonight? Who does what? Because everybody got switched around, Carter, McCann, and Zucker.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, primarily, usually for the Penguins, you know, purposes, the center is usually the defensive entity. I guess they're the strongest defensive entity on that line. That means, you know, he's usually the one that has to kind of support the defenseman, you know, on a back check and things like that, and be kind of like a passing option, you know, out of the corners if they're ever under pressure, things like that. So I'm curious if maybe they have Jared McCann maybe do that maybe a little bit more as a winger, just because he's obviously a lot more familiar with the Penguin system than Jeff Carter would be at this stage of his time with the Penguins. But, yeah, at the same time, too, you know, I'm not quite sure that that line's ever going to be anything too permanent. You know, Mike Sullivan's a guy that likes to do a lot of research and development when he has players, you know, playing them in their off, you know, maybe in situations they're maybe not always comfortable in or familiar with. If you recall, you know, at times he's had, you know, Patrick Hornquist and Phil Kessel play the off wing, play left wing, just to see if it worked. And, you know, ultimately those situations didn't work out and those guys returned back to the right wing. So, yeah, I wouldn't exactly expect Jeff Carter to be a permanent center for the Penguins. You know, for the most part, he's played right wing this season with the LA Kings. So, man, we'll see how it works tonight. But, I don't know if this is anything that's more than just maybe exploratory on Mike Sullivan's behalf.
The bottom six is pretty weak now, isn't it? You got all the injuries, now Gaudreau's out. I mean, I saw the depth chart for tonight, and I'm not impressed. I know injuries dictate, and you're only playing Philadelphia and then Buffalo after that, but I'm not impressed.
Yeah, and, you know, again, that's just the attrition that they've undergone here. And, you know, Colton Skivier, you know, full credit to him. He's coming off, you know, the Tuchel game. In fact, he's got three goals in his past two games, but in an ideal situation, a guy like him and, you know, Mark Jankowski probably aren't in the lineup, right? But, you know, just based on where they are with their injury situation, I mean, it just keeps piling up here with Frederick Gaudreau added to it. But they just don't have many options at this point. So it's good to see Teddy Bluger back in the lineup. And, you know, it looks like he's going to be back to his normal station as the third line center. They kind of used him back in the lineup on Sunday, you know, at least starting that game with him as the fourth line center. So, he at least has, you know, a few minutes under his belt now, coming off his injury, get his conditioning back up. But, you know, without Brandon Tanev, that's a very different bottom six. And, you know, certainly he's not going to be back in the lineup, for at least until, you know, once the playoffs start. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, Sam Lafferty, maybe, I mean, they've looked at him as a potential, you know, kind of poor man's replacement for Brandon Tanev. I don't know if, you know, there's something for him down the line here, to get back in the lineup, but yeah, the options are very limited, as you say.
Who is going to be back from injury and when? And what's the real story, Seth? I know what we're being told, but what's your legit feel for these guys? Because I have doubts about Malkin.
Well, because Perry Kapanen is the one that probably has the most optimism or the most reason for optimism. On Monday, Ron Hextall labeled him as 10 to 14 days. So he's the one that's going to be back, you know, at least based on what they've told us, you know, the soonest. And, you know, that's curious just based on the fact that he looked like he blocked a shot or blocked a clearing attempt with his leg or his foot or something like that, and he really just went down in pain. And he hasn't really skated that much since then. In fact, I want to say he's maybe skated less than Malkin since that time. But based on what they say, he seems to be the one that's scheduled to be back the soonest. As far as Malkin, man, that's a curious one because, it looks like it's definitely a right knee injury, the way he was injured, against the Boston Bruins, what was it, maybe 3-4 weeks ago now. They're expressing hope that he's going to be back before the end of the season, the regular season. They haven't offered many specifics on that. I know there's been some talk about him maybe coming back, the next to last game of the year, but after so much downtime and, coming off a right knee injury, that just did not look good at all.
Well, that's the thing, Seth. Kasperi Kapanen, by all accounts, broke his ankle. And that heals on a schedule. It's either okay or it's not. Whereas Malkin with the knee and Tanev with the shoulder, those are much less definite.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if, these are injuries where they're kind of just waiting to see if, maybe some kind of minor surgery would be required. If they're wondering maybe if they have to kind of maybe they can rehab their way past it or something like that. So, my curiosity with Malkin is just the lack of skating. At least with Tanev, he can skate with that injury while he's trying to recover. Malkin's been very limited in terms of how much skating he can do. And you're talking about a forward that you're going to be expecting to play 18, 19, 20 minutes a game. I don't know how you ease him back in the lineup, if at all. So, how explosive of a skater is he going to be? Again, he's never been a guy that's ever going to confuse anyone with, Johan Olof Koss, for instance. But, just for a guy that you lean on for so much under ideal circumstances to skate, I'm just curious where his game will be back whenever he does come back.
Penguins play Philly tonight, then Buffalo twice, then New Jersey three times. If they're going to win the division, do the Penguins need to do it right here?
Yeah. This is where they can clean up. For the most part, the other contenders in the division don't have that luxury of playing those teams up much, very much many more. I think Boston actually has a few more games against Buffalo, so they can still clean up a little bit. But the New Jersey Devils are a noticeably weaker team after the trade with the Islanders, where they jettisoned Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. So. I think as we saw this past weekend, those games aren't probably going to be 2-1 defensive grinding games. The Penguins could open up a little bit now against New Jersey and score some points, score some goals and, collect some points. And obviously the Buffalo Sabres should be an automatic 2 points for anyone that plays them at this point. So, the table's been set for the Penguins in terms of, the competition they have here, down the stretch. And, the Islanders, the Capitals and Bruins are all going to, give it their full go. But the Penguins have the luxury of getting some pretty easy points against some pretty weak competition down the stretch here.
Who should the Penguins most want to play in the first round in the East, Seth? I think it's Boston. And I can't believe I'm saying that because 2 months ago I would have said quite the opposite.
I will say the team they would least want to play is the Islanders. If they can hold off playing the Islanders until the second round, I think that would be best. And I think it would be easiest to play the Capitals or the Bruins, and I would probably lean toward your choice, the Bruins. They're just not as potent as a team as I think everyone would have expected. They still have the leading characters there. Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, kind of doing everything for them. But they've not been very healthy throughout the season. They've dealt with a lot of goaltending issues just based on health this season. Presumably you would get, facing Tuukka Rask or whatever, but, in a first round playoff series, but, they just haven't quite looked as thoroughly tough, in terms of, just on a game to game basis, as I think everyone would have expected. And, they never really solved their defensive issues this season. I know they picked up, some guys here in the trade deadline, but they never really fully placed, what Torrey Crew can do for them on offense. And, Zdeno Chara, again, at 42, 43 or whatever, he's obviously limited his career, but they never really replaced, what he's able to do, on and off the ice in a tangible and intangible sense. So, I just don't trust their blue line, for their purposes. That's a team that it's very flawed. The Penguins obviously have had some troubles with the Bruins, and going to Boston's always a tricky spot for them. But out of those three teams, that just seems to be the one that's most flawed over the course of the best of seven game matchup.
And finally, Seth, Penguins play the Flyers tonight. Have you ever seen a team so thoroughly hamstrung by their goaltending as the Flyers? I think their goaltending's so bad that it almost doesn't matter how they play on at least half the nights they're in action.
At least not a team that, you know, still, quote-unquote, has playoff aspirations. Carter Hart's just been such a massive disappointment for them. And even Brian Elliott, who's, you know, a pretty solid veteran, he hasn't been much better either. So, but, you know, Carter Hart, I mean, there were so many hopes for him. He was supposed to be the guy that finally, you know, homegrown goaltender that finally, slot down the position for him after so many years, really not since Ron Hextall in the late 80s, maybe. So, again, I don't know what the situation there is. I know they had the goalie coach, or Kim Dillabaugh, who Ron Hextall actually brought over with him from L.A., was kind of seen as, you know, a goaltender whisperer, so to speak. But just for whatever reason, it's not worked out there at all for Carter Hart this season. So I don't know if he's kind of just going through a career crisis, like the way Marc-Andre Fleury did at one point, or even Matt Murray is going through right now. But it's just been such a massive letdown for them on so many levels, based on what they hoped out of Carter Hart.
Seth, great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight.
The dude abides, Mark. Be well.
That is Seth Rohrbaugh. Good stuff from him. Check out his work at triblive.com. Now I want calls about hockey and hockey only. Dial 412-333-WXDX. It's the Hockey Night Show, brought to you by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Finishing his checks, causing a constant commotion.
Hey, Mr. Madden, how you doing?
Sometimes I'm so damn dumb, I wouldn't take a phone call from me.
VX at 105.9.
It's the Hockey Night Show. Hockey calls only, 412-333-WXDX, brought to you by Dunkin'. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'. This guy Eric's been on hold for almost 40 minutes. This ought to be good. Eric, you're on with Mark.
I don't know how good it'll be, but I've been in the car. So who, in your opinion, is the most underrated player in hockey?
In all of hockey?
In all of hockey.
Well, that's a rather broad question. Probably one of my favorite players is Sebastian Aho for Carolina.
Oh, that's a good call.
I think he is a really special talent that does not get nearly the credit he deserves.
I say Alexander Barkov.
You know what? Barkov was going to be among the names I was going to bring up if I went a little bit deeper. But part of it for both guys, for Aho and Barkov, is where they play. I think if Aho played in Toronto or in New York, people would think he was a god. I think the same applies to Barkov, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. If they played in a larger market, they'd be, you know, on all the hockey.
Not even necessarily a larger market, but for a bigger logo. Does that make any sense?
That does, because I think Carolina gets more play than Florida does.
I don't know about that.
And I think, but they've been there before. Yeah, you're probably right. But, you know,
well, Florida's, I mean, Carolina's won a couple cups, so at some point they were in the spotlight. But not with Sebastian Aho. And Florida's never done anything in you know, recent memory, dating back to when they made the final in 96, the year of the Rat. By the way, Sebastian Aho this year, 38 points in 41 games. That's not exactly filling the net. I'll tell you another guy who's on Carolina. A friend of the show, a local kid, Vincent Trocheck. 34 points in 32 games for Carolina. I think he's right up there on the list we're talking about, too, don't you?
Yeah, Trocheck's really, really good. What about Anthony Beauvillier?
Eh, I mean, doesn't get a ton of points, does he?
No, but he does a lot more than just score, though. He's good defensively, and he's a pest. And I think if you look at his overall game, I don't think a lot of people appreciate him for what he does.
They could probably use him to score a little bit more, though, don't you agree? I mean, he's out there with Barzal a lot. He should have more points.
He should, but I don't think he gets a lot of power play time.
I'll tell you another guy. We're going to go all Pittsburgh-y here. What about JT Miller in Vancouver, assuming they ever play again?
Yeah, well played on that. Yeah. Yeah, I think if he would have stayed in New York, you'd hear about him more.
I don't think he would. I still think he'd be underrated.
I'll give you a Penguin. What about Dumoulin?
Oh, Dumoulin. Nobody knows about him outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think he's really good too. Really so good. There's a lot of underrated players out there. And in Dumo's case, I think it's because when people think defense in Pittsburgh, they think Letang. But Letang is playing so good this year because Dumo's his partner. I mean, among other reasons. Thank you for the call. That was actually an interesting call. Imagine fielding an interesting call in today's know-it-all climate of talk radio. But that was just brilliant. Okay, we got the Penguins Network pregame show up next. I'm Mark Madden, 105.9.